Blog Talk Radio.
Dr. Anonymous Show 69, Chronic Kidney Disease and Dialysis. And welcome to the Dr. Anonymous Show, the show that goes beyond the blog, connecting you to the best people in medicine and new media. I am, of course, your favorite physician host, and I do solemnly swear that I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States. And I will, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. So help me God. How tough is that? Anyway, people call me Dr. A, and you can always find me at dranonymous.com. Today is Thursday, January 22nd. It is 9 p.m. Eastern Time. It is 31 degrees Fahrenheit, and it is a heat wave. Here in northeastern Ohio, it is 267 days until Blog World Expo and 150 days until PodCamp Ohio. We have a special show for you tonight. My co-host who will be joining us in just a few minutes is Kim, who you may remember from the Dr. A Show number 57. She works in the dialysis center and is a nursing student in Seattle, Washington, and she graciously arranged to have our two guests join us here this evening, and I will let her introduce them a little bit later. But first, I would like to thank Blog Talk Radio for featuring the show again this evening. And welcome to those of you who are new to the show. I am also featured on iTunes, so check me out over there. For those of you who don't know, I am a family physician in full-time private practice, meaning I see patients 5 days a week in the hospital and in my office. I live here in beautiful northeastern Ohio, and I've had my blog for 2 years now, and this show for a year. Now, if you'd like to join the show later this evening, the number here is 646-716-9514. And if you're listening live, you can see my smiling face on the webcam this evening and my very nice orange shirt. So if you're listening on the archive, you are missing out. I had a hospital meeting earlier this evening and kept my work garb on. So if you're listening on the archives, you are missing out. So I have to tell you that we do have the friendliest chat room here on Blog Talk Radio. Just want to give a hi and hello to everybody in the chat room. Hello, chat room. We have our co-hosts in there. We have Sunny. We have the Riven Rock Dog. We have Ramona. We have a Peggy K. We have Annie and Burl, Christina, Les, Buckeye Surgeon, Crazy Girl, Nathan, PKD, Scanman all the way from India, Stacy, Moof, and Bonk. We have a couple of guests in there as well. And if you would like to join in the fun in the chat room there, guest, I encourage you to register for the Blog Talk Radio site here to get into the fun of the chat room. And I see Trauma Junkie also checked in there. So thank you for joining us this evening. And before we get started this evening, I do want to thank everybody who voted for me in the Twitter award finals. And even though there's more than 24 hours left before the polls close, I don't think that I can really close the gap here. So I would like to congratulate ADHD Parenting for probably winning this category. And I'm not bitter. I'm not bitter tonight. But come back for the night shift show on Saturday night at 9 p.m. Eastern time, and I'll be talking about more then. So, but we have more important things to talk about tonight, namely the serious topics of chronic kidney disease and dialysis. And after this short musical break, I will bring in our special co-host, Kim. You are listening to the Dr. Anonymous Show, a proud member of the ProMed Network. You can find it at promednetwork.com, and we'll be right back. And welcome back to the Dr. Anonymous Show. We have Kim on the line. Welcome to the show, Kim.
Hello. Thank you so much.
Thank you. That is your favorite introduction music.
It is my favorite introduction music. Thank you for playing it. It makes me happy. It makes me feel all warm and fuzzy.
So how are things in Seattle this evening?
Oh, it's good. It's about 35 degrees right now. They're predicting snow again, but I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I'm going to, you know, deny snow. How can I happen?
No more Snowmageddon up there, is there?
No more Snowmageddon. I really can't take it anymore. I'm a California girl, you know. It's all sunshine and happiness there. This snow is killing me. But fortunately, it's not here. No snow yet. So I think the weatherman's lying for Seattle. I think he's just trying to scare us by shovel, but I will not buy a shovel.
I do want to welcome you back to the show. We talked in November, and
yes.
I remember that interview, and very passionately talked about dialysis and chronic kidney disease, and you approached me about having a follow-up show and bringing some guests on, and this is I'm really looking forward to tonight's show. But I know before we bring in our first guest, I knew you have some kind of opening remarks that you wanted to share with the people.
Yes, I do. I just chronic kidney disease has been something that has been a part of my life since I was about 5 years old, when my grandfather was diagnosed and he went on dialysis. So, it really is something that's very important to me, and I am very, very honored that my two guests today have, so graciously decided to join me. These are wonderful bloggers, patient bloggers. They have great blogs. They're great people, and they just have, amazing stories to tell. And I guess what I kind of, I really want to impress upon the people what dialysis is. I mean, 1 in 9 Americans in the United States have some form of chronic kidney disease. So it's like, whether it's stage 1 or stage 5, it's something that is becoming, increasingly rampant in the United States. And it's a very not talked about disease. Not a lot of people talk about it. Not a lot of people know about it. So I'm very excited that we get a chance to kind of tell the public, other healthcare providers, just random people that are in the chat room today and who will listen, that, this is something that we need to look at and, listen to and find out more about. It's a very serious thing, and I'm just really excited to do this. And I also wanted to say hello to the guests that are in the chat room. I invited some of my personal associates. Some of them are probably from my work back in California, and also a couple people from here in beautiful Seattle. So hello, guests. Nice for you to be here.
Well, good. I see Enrico is Enrico has joined us in the chat room, so welcome, Enrico. So when we get started here, we'll take another quick short break and get people ready here, and we'll be right back after this. You're listening to the Dr. Anonymous Show. Your entertainment is guaranteed, or your money back. We'll be right back. Okay, welcome back. So I will let you introduce our first guest here, and then I will bring him up here on the line.
Well, I would like everyone to give a warm welcome to Stacy from stacywithoutane.blogspot.com. Hi, Stacy. How are you?
Hey, Kim. It is great to hear your voice. We miss you up here in Northern California.
Oh, thank you so much. I miss the sun and everything. I do miss you guys. It was a good unit. How you doing?
I'm doing, well. I'm a little tired and grouchy right now, but I think that'll pass in a few moments. I had treatment about an hour and a half ago.
Oh, you did? Okay. All right.
Well, see, here's the thing. This appearance on the Dr. Anonymous – by the way, hello, Dr. Anonymous. I forgot to say hello to you. I
yes, hello, Stacy. Yes, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I wanted to make sure I was feeling pretty decent and had a dialysis treatment. I'm on vacation this week, so I decided I'm going to go to treatment beforehand – feel a little bit better, and bring that to the Dr. Anonymous show.
Before we get started here, where are you located there, Stacy?
In the lovely Sonoma County region, wine country of Northern California, Santa Rosa more specifically.
Okay. Well, great. Well, thank you for being on the show. I know Kim has some questions here for you, so go ahead and fire away there, Kim.
All right. So, Stacy, I was kind of – can you give us, like, a little bit of a background about, you know, how long you've been dialyzing, how it's been going for you, that type of stuff?
As far as the dialysis, this is my third round over the period of my life where I've been on it. I was on it – I had two separate treatments back in the early 80s before my first transplant to clean out my blood. I was on it for about a year before my second transplant in 96. And now, because I don't really have any family members left, I've taken too many of their kidneys, I've been on for the last 4 years, nearly 5 years.
Okay. How can you describe to us what it's like? I can tell, you know, the people what it's like for me, working as a technician in a dialysis facility, what it's like from my perspective. But I kind of want to know and tell people what it's like from your perspective, because that's the part that I think people don't really, you know, fully understand, is it they just think they go there and everything's just kind of, you know, whatever, they get hooked up to a machine. But can you kind of, you know, as much detail as you want to go into about that type of stuff, like what is
well,
a regular dialysis treatment for you?
Yeah, you know, it's funny, dialysis kind of clouds everything in your life because it has to be the priority. It's the first thing you got to think about when you're eating, when you're out and about. Scheduling all the treatments and dealing with everything. So it really does hover over your entire life. And as I told you earlier, my two previous times on dialysis were much shorter. So I didn't really get the full effect of what it was to be a dialysis patient until the last 5 years.
Uh-huh.
And being on it longer has been kind of disheartening in the fact that a lot of things I used to enjoy doing on a regular basis have kind of gone to the backseat of my life, basically. Things I just can't do anymore. And what you don't realize, because it's so subtle, you start off on dialysis, most of the time you feel really awful because they put you on at the last possible moment, you know, to give you a chance to stay away from it. When you're too far gone, you've got to go on dialysis. There's no point. I mean, there's no choice. And it has, as the longer you're on it, the more, and it's so subtle, the more you notice that things start to disappear in your life. You're hanging out with friends less. You're not going out as much. Things like going to the movies or dinner just kind of fade away. And I noticed the longer I'm on treatment, the worse I am feeling, as far as I'm much more tired than when I started 3-4 years ago. I have much less energy, and I really have to concentrate on taking care of my health as best as possible.
Yeah, that's a very good point. So what ways have you, tried to combat this? I know that I love your blog. I think it's one of the best, I don't know if you call it a patient blog yourself, but it's one of the best chronic kidney disease blogs that I've read, because it's just so honest, and you just talk about things that I've never even thought of. And I've worked in dialysis for about 5 years, and it's just, you write about such things that, I've never thought of. So how do you combat that kind of feeling of, how do you combat those feelings of, feeling tired all the time and all that stuff? I know that you work, too.
Yeah, and something I'm really proud of is I never missed any work when I started dialysis treatment, and the new year has just begun, and I lost all my sick days because I didn't use any of them. So I'm pretty proud of that as far as I am pretty lucky because I work in radio, and that's something I've loved, and something, and actually dialysis, I'm going to go off on a couple tangents as we go on here, so just keep that in mind. When I was first diagnosed with glomerulonephritis, which you can probably go into better detail than I can of what that disease particularly is, I believe it affects the nephrons, the building blocks of the kidney. Am I right about that?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Anonymous. So here's the deal. Back when I was about 10 or 11, and we had to make all these trips back and forth from Stockton, where I grew up, to UCSF in San Francisco, and it's about a two-hour drive. Well, we would listen to this morning show that is no longer on anymore called Frank and Mike, and I listened to them every single morning we would go because we get up very early to beat the traffic. And so from an early age, because of my treatments and going back and forth between the city and home, I heard a lot of radio. And at some point, something clicked, and I said, I've got to do that. So if you look back, and I find this very interesting, my condition really pushed me into my career.
Yeah, no, that's definitely an interesting point that you make out there. Kind of,
Now, of course, I've forgotten what the original question was.
Well, basically, I was just asking how you deal with everything. Being chronically tired, and I'm sure dialysis. You don't feel the best afterwards, and dealing with all that. How you deal with that on a daily basis?
Well, it obviously for any dialysis patient, it's not easy. And one of the reasons I started the blog was to deal with everything that is going on in my life. If I can get it sort of out of my system, I feel better personally. If I can get the things out that are really affecting me, you know, Kim, from reading the blog from time to time, that it goes all over the place as far as my moods. Some days it's a nice, happy, upbeat, wacky entry. Other days it's the complete opposite. And I let everything spill out there for me personally, to get that out of my system so I can move on with my life and deal with dialysis better.
Well, I actually really appreciate that you do talk about stuff like that, because it gives me an insight into what my patients are feeling. And, like, you're totally different than anyone else. But just from, how you describe things that happen in the clinic, it kind of opens my eyes as to, that's a very good point, and I, like what you say in your blog and about techs and nurses and doing all that stuff. So I really do appreciate reading from it, because it's, very informative for me. And I'm glad that you're there so I can learn something from it.
Yeah, it has gotten me in trouble a couple times, though. not that I mention, you'll notice in the blog, whenever I mention anyone, I create kind of a character name for them.
Oh, yeah.
I usually use two adjectives and a noun, a raven-haired tech or something like that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, one person talked to another person at clinic, to another person, and it got back to the clinic manager, and then there's been a couple instances. And in one case, the clinic manager was right in bringing me in and talking about it, because I did go a little too far, and I ended up deleting that post. It started out as being anonymous, much like Dr. Anonymous, and now it's out there and people know about it.
How do you feel about that? I've always wanted to ask you, how do you feel that, you know, people where you dialyze, whether it's, you know, workers or the clinical manager or whoever, read what you write? How do you feel about that?
I don't really have any issues with it. It's probably, and I don't even realize it subconsciously, it's made me maybe pull back on some things since I discovered that, although I try to be as honest with myself as I can when I'm writing in it, because if you hold back, then you're the full effect of getting it out and getting it out of your system isn't going to be working.
Right.
So.
No, that's a very good point. Very good point. Well, I've actually been reading your blog for quite a while. It wasn't until I moved to Seattle that I actually made it known that I was, due to certain reasons. And I'm pretty sure I probably have pulled into that same clinical manager's office more than you have. Just saying.
You know, it's funny, but when people mention at clinic that, you know, I've read this post or I saw that or I read this, the fact that I've only been in there 3 times, apparently I'm just a rookie. Because a lot of the staff have been in there many, many times.
Yes, yes. You've joined a very, you know, not exclusive club, so it's all good.
I feel proud.
Oh, good. I wanted to ask you another thing. You've mentioned before, and I know this for, you know, previous reasons, but you actually do daily hemodialysis in clinic, correct?
I do 6 days a week, yes. They came to me a couple years ago with a research project. They wanted to see the results of a dialysis patient's health and response to dialysis if they did shorter treatments more days a week. So I originally started back in 2004, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 3 hours. Okay. Now I'm on Monday through Saturday for 2 hours. And anybody who had read the blog or talked to me before would think I had absolutely lost my mind, since there is a portion of me that despises and can't stand and hates dialysis.
I don't
and that
you.
Comes out in the blog, obviously. So the fact was, what was happening, it was the stretches, the Tuesdays, the Thursdays, and that weekend were getting harder and harder to deal with, and it was affecting my work. And right now in my life, that is the most important thing to me, to make sure I can continue to be on the radio and to broadcast and do what I love, because that's what gets me out of bed every morning. If I didn't have that, I'd be in bed all day for 12, 15 hours a day and then go to treatment and then go back home, and that would be awful. So
yeah.
I've talked to people and they said, oh, you know, you're a pretty good actor. We can't tell when you're feeling, you know, down or not feeling well, but I can tell. And
yeah.
I don't want to let that take anything away from what I do.
Well, that is the most important thing, you know, how you feel about it. So, can you tell us some of the benefits of 6-day-a-week dialysis? It's a relatively new thing in the United States. I do know that in European countries, in Japan, and on the other side of the world, they do dialysis more frequently than we do in the United States. So a lot of people, when they associate dialysis in the United States, they only think of it, you know, 3 days a week, 3-4 hours a treatment, that type of thing. So what are the benefits that you feel about every day?
I have been able to, especially the next morning after I have some semblance of sleep. I have sleep issues with sleep apnea, but once I get the dialysis treatment in my past, I've had a night to sleep and recover a little bit. The next day, especially in the morning, I feel better than I did on the 3 days a week. It was much rougher getting through those off days. And I feel more alert, I feel a little bit less tired, I have a little bit more energy, and that allows me to do everything else in my life I like to do. Because I do try to make sure I, for what health I have, try to keep that with working out on a regular basis.
That's great. That's really great. So let's get to the stuff that other people want to know. What about the drawbacks? I don't want to be, you know, super negative, but I know there has to be some I have to talk to. Patients who do 6 days a week, but do you feel the drawbacks of, you know, other than time constraints?
Yeah, I've noticed over the past 5 years that as an individual, my personality has morphed, and I would say that's not that it's all been negative, because before dialysis, I was much nicer and sweeter and not so much of a curmudgeon, which I believe is what I've slowly developed into, and as sarcastic. So you don't notice it because it's very subtle, but I don't know if it would happen for everybody, but most people would have personality changes that they don't even realize because they happen so slowly over the course of dialysis treatments over the years. Also, it has affected severely my dating life as far as, you know, if you look at me, you wouldn't notice that I'm on treatment, which is a good thing. But then when it comes down to it, a lot of people are freaked out about dialysis because, as you said in your opening, not a lot of people know about dialysis, the treatment, what people go through. It just does not have the press of a lot of other diseases.
Yeah, you're right. So I know that you talk about that a lot on your blog. It's something that seems to be, you know, a really interesting theme with it. And I've actually heard this from a lot of people about what you talked about. You know, a little bit of personality changes. This, you know, dating's definitely difficult. It definitely affects your personal life. But have you found a way to kind of deal with that, or has it just been just something you've had, you know, had to deal with? I don't know the right way to.
No, that's not, I understand what you're asking. I haven't really. What I've done is basically put that aside in my life. I haven't. It's been at least over a year since I've gone out on a date. I had a couple different experiences, and this was just instances where I should have just let it go. One was, I guess I was wearing a short sleeve shirt, and I didn't have my, you know, the bandages were done, so I'd peeled them off, and they saw that loop that's on the upper part of my left arm, the graft.
Yeah.
And I have, you know, a lot of people in public, and when you go out with people, if they don't know about it and they see all these needle sticks in your arm, what is
right.
the first assumption? Well, you're a drug abuser, and I don't want anything to do with you. And that is a little disheartening. I've also was told by another woman, you know, if we're going to continue to go out, you're going to have to cover that. And, well, that was the end of that. I was out of there.
Yeah.
Those are just specific instances, obviously. But, yeah, it has had a demoralizing effect on finding Mrs. Stacy without an E.
Oh, well, I think you're a pretty awesome guy myself.
Oh, Kim, you make me blush.
Oh, I like your voice, by the way. You have a very good speaking voice.
Oh, well, thank
very
you.
Impressed. Okay. So I kind of want to also talk about your blog a little bit. When did you start blogging?
You know, it's funny. I have been an on-and-off writer my entire life. And I had a column in a little tiny paper in the San Joaquin Valley for a year or so. I've had some things published in the Long Beach Telegram. But and one of the things I've always wanted to do, I've had three dreams in my life. One was to be on the radio. Hey, look at me now. To be a published writer and to be a voice of an animated character at some point, preferably in a Pixar film. And, you know, one of the dreams I've already had, I wanted to write as well, but I was really concentrating on the radio thing, and that kind of went to the wayside. There was a tech at dialysis. This is probably the first 6 months I started treatment here in Santa Rosa. And she said, yeah, I've got a blog. And this is when just blogs were really starting to get, you know, people were really starting to get into it, and you're hearing more and more about blogs, and they're getting more attention. And I said, well, you know, I haven't written anything in a while. Let's start it up. My first post was, dialysis is stealing my soul. So you can see where I was in that first year. And it's thankful for her suggestion I should start, you know, what my experiences are from the point of view of a patient and, you know, get it out there, deal with what you're going through. And it was, unfortunately, she moved like you did away from the clinic. People keep doing that. I don't know why, but,
no comment.
Okay. And, so yeah, I've been writing ever since. And it's been a great thing because now I'm looking even further at continuing with possibly taking what I've gone through and pushing things toward a book.
You know, Stacy, I was going to suggest that, but I think that would be an awesome book. Like I said before, this is something that is basically untouched area. I mean, I can probably name all the dialysis blogs on my hands, And so I think taking it into a book would just be, you know, something that would be great. And you are such, I remember reading that post, Dialysis is Stealing My Soul, and I'm telling you, it is awesome. I want everyone listening to this to read it, because it's just amazing the way you word things.
You know,
I can't
it's funny,
gush
I,
enough
I,
about you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, I just said I can't gush enough about your blog. I really like it. It's very informative. Totally worth the read.
Well, if you don't mind, I mention it. StacyWithoutAnE.blogspot.com
awesome.
Is
yes,
where it's
please.
Located. You know, it's funny. I look back every once in a great while. I don't do it very often. I go back and see where I was writing-wise back in my mm-hmm. earlier posts. And that first post, my writing style. What's been good about continually being on dialysis is it's pushed me to write continuously. And I can see where I was as a writer back then and where I am now. And there's some progression, so I am happy about that.
No, it's very good. Yeah, I also enjoy your posts where you do the it's like a little creature, the dialysis creature.
The dialysis creature. God, I hate the dialysis creature. Oh, if I ever catch him one day, I swear to goodness, he's gone. He's done for. But
yeah,
he's very hard to catch because he bounds about the clinic affecting other patients.
Right.
I'm not his only target. And there are so many patients there. You know, he has a lot to work with.
And for everyone reading or listening, you have to read his blog to know what we're talking about. But,
okay, I think that's enough plugs. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay. No, you're welcome. So I wanted to ask, I know that you talked about you've kind of, you know, been talked to about your blog sometimes from, you know, the clinic where you dialyze. But what do you decide to share? Do you just whatever floats your boat, or is there something you absolutely will not talk about?
You know what? I don't think I've really – there hasn't really been an experience that has happened. I'm always in my mind. Maybe I'm a goofball. Maybe I'm a blog nerd. But I'm always formulating blog posts in my head. Am I strange? Am I weird? Do I have some issues?
No.
Probably.
I don't think so.
The answer to all those is probably, but that I want to talk about on the blog. And so far, I don't think there has been anything I've kept back. I can't really think of an instance. It's all out there. It's all in the blog.
All right. So, what is one piece of advice that you would give any new or old dialysis patient or anyone in the healthcare professional?
Well, I actually have advice for two different individuals, those who are on dialysis and those who are not, but wondering what it pushes. Here's basically what I want to say to Kim, is if you suffer from high blood pressure, diabetes, and are really obese, likely chances are, in the future, unless you start to take your medication and take care of yourself. I know this sounds like preaching. I apologize for that. But unfortunately, that puts you at an incredibly high percentage of being on dialysis. Every week at my clinic, every single week, there are new faces. There's new patients. There's new people there. And it's a sad state of affairs about the way people are taking care of themselves. Okay, I'm done preaching. I apologize for that, but I just wanted to say that.
That's actually very correct with what you say. It is something that is, like I mentioned at the beginning of when I started babbling, you know, 1 in 9 people do have some form of chronic kidney disease in the United States. So it's definitely something that we all should be aware of, whether it's for ourselves or for family members or friends. You know, it's something that is becoming more and more prevalent. So
yeah, and I think it all really seems to go, I mean, part of it, you know, there's a portion of it. Well, I'm a special circumstance because I was born with this condition.
Right.
And there's cases like that, obviously. But I think the bigger percentage, from what I see in the clinic, is it's not just a lot of people think, oh, it's just elderly people. You know, sometimes they're when they get older kidneys. No, I'm seeing more and more people of all ages, of all races, of all weights, unfortunately. People are just not taking care of themselves when it comes to their diet.
That's true. That's very true. You're very right. Well, thank you so much, Stacy. I really do appreciate you coming and talking to me. It's been a pleasure.
It has been great for me. I'm sorry. I keep interrupting you because I am on the radio and I talk way too much. But
thank you
so much for having me on. I was really looking forward to this, and that's why I planned my whole day around it. I wanted to go to treatment. I wanted to feel a little better to be on with you guys. Thank you very much for the time, Dr. Anonymous. I can see you there on the screen. Good to see you.
Yeah. But before I let you go, I wanted to ask you a couple of questions.
Sure.
I mean, you have a great radio voice. So tell us about what your gig is on the radio.
I'm an afternoon host at KFGY. It's called Froggy 92.9. It's in Santa Rosa, California. I'm on from 2 to 7 Pacific time in the afternoon.
Well, great.
That's an awesome
great.
Job.
I guess one more thing before I let you go. You touched on this a little bit, and you talked about kind of the stigma that is associated with people on dialysis. I wonder if you could expand on that a little bit more and kind of try to give the listeners a little bit more idea of what people in dialysis kind of go through or what their days. Well, I guess the question I want to ask is with respect to stigma is that what do you go through every day that you haven't really kind of touched on already?
Well, I'll be honest with you, Dr. Anonymous. Most mornings when I wake up, I think maybe I mentioned this earlier, but if I didn't have the job that I love to go to, I would be calling in sick probably on a regular basis. And fortunately, I have something that gets me up and gets you going. That's the thing. You're diagnosed with dialysis. A lot of people, my life's over. I'm just going to have to give up everything. That is absolutely not true. If you're going to be going on dialysis or you are on dialysis, you can work. You can, to a point, have the activities. A lot of times what I notice, people ask me, let's go out to dinner. Let's go out to see a movie. Let's go to a theme park. Let's get out. And my first thought is, man, I'm too tired. I don't feel like doing this. But if I push myself just a little bit and get out, I have a great time, and I'm thankful I push myself a little farther. So it does require, a lot of determination and a lot of, realizing. This is one thing I've realized over this last 5 years. I am incredibly and much more stronger than I ever thought I was. And I think once people get over the initial fear and the initial scariness of dialysis, they will find the same thing.
Great. Well, yeah, I'd like to thank you, too, for coming on. And I know Kim has really wanted to talk about this and bring you on for a long time. You're welcome to hang out with us.
I'd love to.
And what I can do is I can put you on hold, and you can listen through the phone, and we'll speak to our second guest. Then after that, I'll bring you back in the conversation and go from there. How's that sound there, Stacey?
That sounds fantastic. Cool deal.
Okay, great. Well, I'll put you on hold here.
Thank you, Kim.
All right, Kim. Hey, great job with that,
awesome.
You are quite the hostess with the mostest there, Kim. So,
thanks.
So he seems very cool. So he's got that great radio voice too. I like that. And I think I think we have our next guest on the line here. What I'll do is we'll take another quick musical break here, and Kim, I'll let you catch your breath here for a little bit. And because I'm just kind of on autopilot tonight, so this is very very strange experience for me, but it's great. So just hang out. Welcome everybody in the chat room there. We have one more guest we'll bring in after this musical break. You're listening to the Dr. Anonymous Show right here on Block Talk Radio. Welcome back to the Dr. Anonymous Show. So, Kim, how are you doing there, buddy?
I'm doing great. How are you? Looking fine in your orange shirt.
how you feeling there? You're doing good here. You did your show prep, so good job with that.
Well, at first I was a little nervous, but I guess I'm kind of one of those people that likes attention, so I'm digging it.
Well, good.
Say that.
Good. Well, I will. I know Tracy has been waiting very patiently here on hold.
Yes.
I will let you introduce her, and we'll welcome her to the show.
All right. I want everyone to give a warm welcome to Tracy from CapliInc.com. Hey, Tracy, how you doing?
I'm fine, doll. How are you?
I'm good. It's so nice to hear you.
Yeah, it's nice to hear you, too. It's been a while.
How's life treating you?
Life is treating me very well, actually. Tomorrow's my birthday, and I got a full day of blah-blah-blah planned.
Right, yeah, I wanted to be, well, I know I'm not the first, because you're a popular lady, but I wanted to be one of the first to wish you a very happy birthday tomorrow.
Thank you very much. I fully intend to just blow the doors off. There will be cake.
All right. Cake is good. Cake is good.
Yeah.
So I wanted to talk to you a little bit about, if you'd like to tell us a little bit about your history on dialysis. I don't know.
Sure. I've been on dialysis for 5 years. And I have kidney failure because I have bipolar and I was on lithium. And it normally takes about 20 years for lithium to do damage to your kidneys, but we had a birth defect that we didn't know about, which was that the blood membrane around my kidneys was really, really thin. So 5 years of taking lithium pretty much punked my kidneys right out.
Right.
And I did in-center dialysis for the first 4 years, and now I'm doing home hemodialysis with a machine at my house by myself.
How is that?
Doing,
can you tell us a little bit about what you do?
Oh, it's
it's
completely awesome. It's totally awesome. It's like the best thing ever. Basically, I get up, I hang 20 liters of dialysate on the machine, I prep it, I put my needles in, I hook myself up, and then I spend 2 hours watching whatever I taped the night before on TV. And I do that 5 days a week. I do 2 days on and 1 day off.
Uh-huh.
And I feel much better than I felt when I was doing dialysis in center. I don't have any cramping. I don't have any nausea. I have way more energy. I'm a lot healthier because I'm not around sick people. And frankly, the cable is way better at my house than it was at the dialysis center.
Yes, yes it is. Awesome. So what made you decide to go to home hemo? What was the deciding factors in that? There's a lot to think about when you do home dialysis rather than in-center dialysis. So what was your thought process?
Well, there was a couple of things, some of which are thoughtful and some of which are just shallow as hell. I knew that I would be a good candidate for it because I'm relatively young in terms of dialysis, being in my early 40s.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a hard time being in the unit. I'm prone to migraines, and the unit machines tended to trigger that. And
mm-hmm.
really, I'm not a good sharer, and I really did not like the person who sat next to me in the unit. And that made me a little slipshod in attending to my dialysis.
Right.
So, I mean, the idea of doing it at home with all my stuff and, you know, my cats and the TV and blah, 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 where I could get a snack if I wanted to, it was very, very appealing to me. And when I saw that short burst of dialysis, you know, almost daily gives you a much better prognosis than in-center, I was all about, sign me up. So I talked to my doctor, and he gave the go-ahead because he's a very nice man. And then I went to Northwest Kidney Centers, which is where I dialyze out of because I live in Seattle. And I talked – they have a fantastic program there, and basically they put me through about 6 weeks of training, And then they sent me home with a machine. And I've been doing it at home ever since, and I love it. I love the control it gives me. And I love the fact that I actually have more of a life now. I mean, I have the energy to do the stuff I want. Like tomorrow, I'm supposed to be doing dialysis tomorrow, but who wants to do dialysis on their birthday? Nobody. Well, I'm sure there's somebody, but we don't like them anyway. So I'm totally blowing off my dialysis tomorrow because I can do 3 sessions in a row over the weekend.
Nice.
And it just gives you so much more flexibility in terms of your scheduling, in terms of what you can drink and what you can eat, because you're taking it off all the time. And my numbers, I went to see my doctor yesterday, and my lab work numbers were so good that he actually smiled without me having to bribe him. So, you know, he's happy. When he's happy, everybody else is happy. So,
yeah, I have a question from the chat room, and they want to know how hard was it to transfer from, you know, being in-center dialysis to going home dialysis? What was the whole process? Like you said, you just talked to your doctor. Was it just that easy?
Yeah. Well, I talked to my doctor, and then they have this whole screening process where they talk to you to make sure you're not jackboot crazy and that you really can handle the responsibility of doing it, because if you can't be trusted to do the stuff that you need to do to take care of yourself, then you can't do it at home.
Yeah.
So like, the requirements are you have to consistently do your dialysis, you have to consistently maintain your medication routines and your doctor's appointments. And I'm actually very good at all of that, surprisingly. So after they kind of cleared me through that, then you go down and you dialyze there every day during the week, except for Saturday and Sunday. So you go in at 7 o'clock, and they have you set up your own machine. And at first it's really intimidating because, well, it's a machine, and you're going to be plugging it into your arm, and because it just seems like a lot of stuff to remember. But within 2 weeks, like 2 weeks into the 6-week period, I was feeling really confident that I'd be able to do it. And by the time it was time for me to go home, I was totally ready to go and absolutely sure that I could do it. And they give you a lot of support, you know. I'm constantly ducking in and out of NKC.
That's good.
Distracting
That's
people.
Good that you
yeah.
have that support, you know, that you can refer back to. Now, you do it by yourself, correct? You're alone most of the time. You are without a
Yeah,
because
I can't train the cats to do it, so it's just me.
Yeah, usually, well, not usually, just from the program I was trained with when I worked in California, which is different than the one in Washington for the most part, our home hemo patients would have a partner, like a spouse or a child or whatever.
It's the same way in New England, because I came from Maine before I moved to Seattle. And there they insisted that you have somebody with you to do it. And Medicare won't pay for that. I'm on disability. So Medicare will not pay for somebody to assist you with home hemodialysis, which I think is a shame. But here at NKC, Northwest Kidney Centers is really the birth of dialysis as we know it today. And they are very, very progressive in terms of the things that that they encourage their patients to do. I had to get one of those I've fallen and I can't get up lines.
Right.
You know, you have to have the panic button. But other than that, you know, and obviously not everybody's going to be suited for doing it this way, because it does require that you be able to pick up details and pay attention and, you know, not skip steps. But
right,
for me, it's been a life-changing experience for me.
That is awesome. So can you kind of give us, I'm always curious, because where I work, some of the patients who actually stick themselves, I'm using dialysis terms, I should stop that, they cannulate their access.
They put the needles in their arms.
Thank you, Tracy. They put the needles in their arms themselves. So how do you do that? I'm always intrigued by that because, you know, I do that to other people, but I'm not so sure I'd be able to do it to myself. So how did you become comfortable with that? Were you just like, let's just do it? Or were you like, were you nervous about it?
I was a little nervous at first, but the reality is that if you're afraid of needles and you have kidney failure, you're pretty much doomed.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of get over the whole fear of needles. And once we had, you know, you do, basically what you do is in center before you go to train, they create what they call a buttonhole where you put the needles in the exact same spot every single time.
And then
you use a dull needle once you've created the buttonhole. And it really doesn't hurt. I mean, I know that it hurts some people, but for me, that part really doesn't hurt. And then I have all my tapes already set up, and I do one needle at a time. And then I tape everything down, and then I hook myself up. And then it's me shivering under blankets for the next 3 hours. It really gets to a point where you're kind of unfazed, especially with blood, because inevitably, at least once a week, I forget to clamp something, and so when I go to unscrew a tube, blood squirts all over the place. It's like I had to buy a rug cleaner because my house looked like an abattoir. But you get, and the first couple of times it happens, I was like, oh, gross, clean it up, get it off, clean it up. Now I'm just like, oh, well, I can wait till I go to the bathroom. It just loses all of its, you know, potential to freak you out eventually.
Yeah.
You just get used to it.
That's a good point, I guess. Yeah. So I had another question someone asked. What do you do while you're, hanging out on dialysis?
I screw around on the computer. I watch television. I talk on the phone. I'm kind of addicted to this game that's on my mobile phone right now. It's where you break bubbles. That's really my filthy habit. But, I do little projects, and today one of the cats was on me the entire time. So,
not much, technical.
And I don't read because my hands cramp up, but I used to read.
Right.
It's hard because I only have the one hand to use.
Yes.
And I'm freezing cold, so I'm like buried under a bunch of blankets. Anything that requires me to put my hand outside of the blanket, I'm not interested in doing.
I understand that. You guys do get a little cold. It's always kind of cold in the clinic, and I'm sure it's, same at home sometimes.
And I tried to explain to somebody that it's hard to warm up because you're not cold because it's cold outside. You're cold because, your blood's in a machine 2 feet away from your body. So it always ends when I rinse back my fluids. But, I like to be piled under cats and blankets and stuff like that.
I understand that. So you also have a blog, CapleyInc.com.
I do.
It's a very good blog, by the way. I enjoy
it.
Oh,
thank you, sweetheart.
When did you start blogging, if I may ask?
I started blogging roughly a decade ago. And at first it was, there was this website that used to allow you to make free websites. And that was what I did first. Because I was up all night, and I was learning to use my first computer, so I was all about making desktop themes. I don't know if anybody remembers desktop themes, but I was all about making desktop themes. And I created this website, and I would post my observations about blah, 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 blah on it. And then they decided that they were going to start charging me, and I was like, that ain't going to happen. So I took that down, and then I started the Blogger one. But it wasn't until my kidneys punked that I really started to use it in earnest. Because I was listening to Stacey, and he was talking about how he enjoys the writing. I'm not actually a person who enjoys the writing. I enjoy words, but I'm more of a storyteller than I am somebody who feels the urge to get things down on paper. So for me, it's been more of an opportunity to make people laugh and to tell stories and to kind of vent than it has been about any one particular part of my life. I talk about my dialysis. What?
I was going to ask, do you feel this helps with the whole process of dialysis and, like Stacey was speaking out about how sometimes, it can be kind of getting you down. Do you feel that having a blog and expressing yourself the way you do and finding the humor in life with it, do you think that helps you?
Yeah, I mean, I don't, and you know, everybody's experience is different, but for me, the kidney failure, the kidney disease is really, somebody asked me the other day, so I was talking to somebody at the dialysis unit the other day, and they were like, you know, you don't talk about dialysis a lot, and I was like, no, because it's a small part of my life. Being able to dialyze at home has created this for me, that that dialysis is just, it's not all I am, it's not the only thing I am, it's a part of what I do every day, but you know, I've also got all this other stuff that's just as much a part of me. So
I like the way that you said that. It's you know, everyone does have a different experience with this, and I like your thinking on it, that it's just a small part of your life, and I'm assuming that being at home and dialyzing is probably part of that, because I know in the center, it could be, from my experience as a tech, there could be there's a totally different experience to being in center. It could be a little depressed at times, and it can, you know,
Because your whole life revolves around dialysis. Your life revolves around getting there and being there and leaving there and recovering from that, and how many hours until you have to go through that again. And the nice part about my experience with doing home hemodialysis has been that dialysis has been relegated to the level of just another thing that I have to do every day. Just like I take my medicine, just like I eat, just like I take a shower, I do my dialysis. And it's been a real blessing for me in that respect, because it means that the whole focus of my life is no longer my health, which allows me to have a much more normal life than I would otherwise.
That's a very inspiring way of putting it. I do appreciate you saying it that way. It's different, you know, like it's different for everyone, and it's different for someone who works at a chronic unit, and I'm sure it's different for someone who dialyzes at a chronic unit, but it's definitely a way of looking at it, and it's a very positive way, and I like that, because, you know, dialysis is not the end of the world if you don't want it to be, and so
it really isn't.
Thank you for putting it that way.
I think, too, that most people don't understand how fast-growing an epidemic kidney disease is in this country, and how unregulated blood pressure, for one, can do serious damage to your kidneys, as well as all the medications that we take on a regular basis. And more and more people are going to be exposed to the necessity of dialysis. I think it's really important to advocate for yourself, you know, to find out what all your options are. I recently took myself off the transplant list because there's a lot of stuff that's involved. It's not as easy as, you know, you get a new kidney and everything goes back to the way it was before. So I think that in any health situation, you do the best for yourself by finding out as much as you can and then making your own decisions, you know. And for me, home hemo was just, yay.
That's great that you found, you know, something that makes you, you know, go day by day and feel better about it. Taking yourself off the transplant list was probably a very big decision. Do you want to share any, you know, reasons why?
I have cancer on both sides of my family. I am manic depressive, and I have been in the past psychotic. I'm really well medicated now and have been for quite a while, but the immune suppressant drugs give you a higher risk of cancer. It also looks like I would have had to have steroids, and they, given my past history of mental illness, would pretty much put my chance of having psychosis at about 100%. So with the idea in mind that we're probably about a decade away from being able to do transplants without drugs, I decided to just take myself off the transplant list. I didn't decide to do it until after I'd done home hemo for a while. And I felt so much better on home hemo. If I were still doing in-center, I would probably be on the transplant list. Mm-hmm. Because, yeah, it's the quality of life issue.
Right. Well, you know, it sounds like you made a very informed decision on that, and, you know, good luck. I'm sure that,
yeah.
You know, like you said, we are advancing. Seattle is known for its very big interest in kidney failure.
It's like kidney mecca over here.
It is the kidney mecca, I'm telling you. Northwest Kidney Center is also, in case no one knew, I don't know if you mentioned it earlier, but it was the very first dialysis center in the world.
Unit in the country. Yeah, in the world.
So, you know, it's a good place for you to be for, you know, learning about new stuff, and we got good things going on up here.
Oh, it is. It's fantastic, and my nephrologist is awesome. You know, I totally heart him. And
That's good.
And,
it's important to have a good relationship with your nephrologist. It makes life a lot easier.
And I can highly recommend the dialysis units at Northwest Kidney Center, especially the two on Broadway. Their staff rocks.
Yeah,
big shout out to the hood.
Oh, all right. So I have another question for you.
Ask me anything.
What type of advice would you give to new dialysis patients or healthcare professionals? Now, healthcare professionals could be, you know, me, a tech, a nurse who works in dialysis, or just anyone that has ever, you know, worked in the healthcare field. What would you give them? What would you tell them?
For patients, I would remind them that, you know, the best things that they can do for themselves are to accept the fact that they're sick, and then find out everything that they can about their treatment and the people who are treating them. You know, it's important for you to not just do what people tell you to do. It's important to make your own decisions because you know you best. For the workers, I have nothing but admiration for people who work in dialysis units. I think that it's very, very hard to deal with people that are chronically ill. I think that when you're chronically ill, you tend to get this viewpoint that you're the only sufferer in the world, and that's kind of a pain in the butt. I would say just because somebody is sick doesn't mean that they can push you around, and that, you know, everybody should be held accountable for their actions.
Yeah.
You know?
Good point. I have another question. I'm formulating it in my brain. you seem to be very much an advocate. I've talked to you before privately, and you are very much advocate about your own health. You've mentioned that, and advocate about kidney disease. What ways do you think we can help bring kidney disease, chronic kidney disease, you know, this whole dialysis to the public? What ways do you have any ideas about that?
Bill Peckham has a blog called Dialysis at the Sharp End of the Needle, and I think that what we need to do is we all need to be talking more about it in public. It's really a hidden disease, and people tend to feel very ashamed, and I think that, you know, it's important to be as realistic and as honest about our experience as we can be. I don't think we do anybody any favors when we, you know, either gloss over how difficult it is or, you know, sit silently. You know, if you want people to know that it's an issue, then you have to talk about it. You have to be willing to talk about it to strangers, to doctors, to nurses, to everybody. I mean, that's why I think it's one of my strengths, actually, is talking to complete and total strangers about stuff that other people consider to be too personal. And I think in doing that, I get more people have a different view of kidney disease after talking to me than they ever had before. You know, most people only think of it in terms of kidney transplant. But I know that in my life, I have a whole circle of friends who now know far more about kidney disease than they ever wanted to.
You know, I will be honest and say that when I first started as a tech, I was like 18 years old. I was a baby. And I learned, I think, more about life from my patients that I would talk to than probably anyone else. And they, these are people who have lived, you know, pretty amazing lives. And the things that they can tell you, I think, is something that is an untapped resource. Just the fact, you know, this is like I said before, dialysis is not talked about. And so the experience that you and Stacy have shared with me is something, and with everyone that's listening, is something that a lot of people don't talk about. And so,
I think people in this country especially have a view of illness as being something that doesn't happen to them. And what people don't understand is that especially chronic terminal illness is a lottery. Everybody's in the lottery. It could just as easily have been my brother, but it was me. You know, there's no fairness about it. It could happen to anybody, and especially kidney disease, which strikes across all races, all nationalities, all genders. You know, it doesn't really play favorites.
There's a saying that we used to say down in California that kidney failure doesn't what's the word for it? I just lost it in my brain. It doesn't discriminate. Kidney failure does not discriminate. It can just
I think in some ways dialysis has done a disservice to publishing the seriousness of kidney disease, because now people go, oh, kidney disease, well, you'll just have dialysis and then you'll have a transplant and everything will be fine. And that's not reality. That's not true.
Yeah.
But I think that how it's been covered in the media makes it look like that.
Yeah.
You know, because while dialysis is not the end of the world, it's also not something you look forward to either.
You're right.
I mean, I wasn't like, oh, you know what? Dialysis. Yay! I mean, that was, you know, not quite how I was approaching it.
Yes, thank you. Well, you know, thank you so much.
Thank you for asking me, honey.
Yeah, no problem. Your blog is capleyinc.com. I think everyone should go and read it. It is a very funny read, and you're also very, very truthful about what it's like to be on dialysis, and I appreciate you for doing that. It does give me a lot of insight into, you know, patients' lives. Of course, you know, you're not like everyone, but you know what I mean? Everyone's different. I don't mean it like that.
We should all be pretty grateful for that, I'm thinking.
Yeah, everyone's different, so everyone's experience is different. So, you know, thank you for, you know, giving me kind of something to go off, because it's not always easy reading, you know, different patients every day, because when you work in dialysis, you just don't have one patient all day. You have, like, 12.
Like half a dozen, yeah.
Yeah, you have quite a bit. So getting to know someone and finding, you know, their wants and needs and trying to make everyone happy isn't always easy, and it isn't, you know, one of those things. So reading blogs by patients that, you know, have similar things with the patients I deal with is very helpful, and I'm sure that other people find that too. With whatever they read about when they're healthcare. So thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome, and thank you for having me on the show.
No problem.
Yeah.
Have a good night.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Tracy. Do you have time to hang out for a little bit longer?
Oh yeah, I ain't going anywhere. I'm just
sitting here with a cat
on my lap.
What we'll do is we'll take another quick break. I'll bring Stacy back in the conversation. We'll open up the phone lines here. The number here is 646-716-9514, and I know our chat room has been just lighting up tonight. And I know we have some patients who are on dialysis in the chat room, so if anybody wants to join the conversation, the number is 646-716-9514. We'll take one more break here, and then we will bring everybody back on the call. You're listening to the Dr. Anonymous Show, right here on Block Talk Radio.
We'll be right back.
And welcome back to the Kim Show here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm just the co-host here, Dr. Anonymous, and we have Stacy and Tracy back on the line with us. Welcome back.
Hello.
Thanks.
So this is this is one of the things I love about this show is that you know we bring people together, and I have Stacy and Tracy. Have you guys talked with each other before?
I used to read Stacy's blog. In fact, I sometimes still do read Stacy's blog. And then he went on a break for, like, I don't know, 3 weeks, and I lost him. But, I've been reading Stacy for a year or two.
Yeah, and I just have not commented. I've been reading, Tracy, your blog on and off for quite a while. I just haven't commented in a while. Doesn't mean I'm not reading if I don't comment.
Lurker.
Lurker. So I love asking this question. I'm gonna ask Tracy first. So Tracy, what is so good about Stacy's blog?
He's just unrelentingly bitter, and I like that. I find that charming. It's like he's just not given an inch, not one bloody inch, and I just think that that's fantastic. Inevitably, it cracks me up.
Well, I am a little bitter. I'm glad you noticed, Tracy. Thank you very much.
I give you full props for that, my dear.
And I'll ask Stacy the same question. Stacy, what is so good about Tracy's blog?
Well, she doesn't, and I think we share this, she doesn't seem to hold back either. She's very honest in her blog and lets her personality come through, and that's one of the things I enjoy just about reading most people's blogs. If you can write in such a way where you get to know the person a little bit, I think that's fantastic. And so kudos to Tracy.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
Something that I'm curious about, and I know, Stacy, you and Kim kind of talked about this a little bit, and I'll start out with Stacy first. What can you tell me, because I don't know very much, and there's probably isn't much out there. What can you tell me about the chronic kidney disease dialysis kind of blogosphere or people making podcasts? Or are there people in new media out there? Is it a big community? Is it a small community? Is it a community that people can find?
Well, every once in a while, I'll go on search.blogger.com. It's their blogging search engine, to look for other dialysis blogs. And quite honestly, there aren't that many out there, really. I mean, the ones I can find by doing searches online, there's maybe that blog regularly, maybe a couple dozen. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I think that part of that has to do with how the disease skews age-wise. I mean, for the most part, most of the people that I've met on dialysis were significantly older than me in their 70s and 80s. And they're not people who are prone to using new media. They're not the kind of people that blog. If they use their computer, it's to send emails to their grandchildren. It's not for anything else. So I think I think as we go along, we're going to find more and more people doing it. But right now, I think it's a big part of it is the age, because Stacy's right. There's really not a lot going on in the blogosphere about dialysis and kidney disease.
Yeah, and it seems a lot, like I think I mentioned earlier, a lot of other diseases get more coverage, not only in the media, but online. Dialysis is kind of like the ugly stepchild of what's being discussed out there as far as health issues.
It's almost like because there is dialysis, they don't take it seriously. Like, if people were dying, if you got diagnosed with kidney disease and then they tried the treatment and then you were going to die in like 6 months, you know, we might get a little more action. But I think that the very success of dialysis has, you know, inhibited our ability to get the seriousness of the disease across.
Yeah, you make a good point there. It's dialysis kind of puts you in this, for a lot of people, in this kind of purgatory area where you're not fully living, but you're not, you're able to continue on. And
you're like in limbo. Yeah, it's like
exactly.
Health limbo.
Yeah. So that doesn't get it more attention. Death seems to be the big thing that...
I know. It's really a shame.
Yeah.
Maybe if we started knocking people off. I don't know.
Well, there are some patients at my dialysis clinic that
are asking for it, dude.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, Jesus, Lord.
There was, I read the one you were talking about, the guy with the stinky foot, and I was remembering that when I was at my unit in New England, this girl who routinely came in with 2-liter bottles of Pepsi was eating a Subway sandwich while on dialysis while her boyfriend clipped her toenails.
Ah! Can I mention my favorite night at treatment?
Yes.
Guy next to me was sleeping and snoring when I came in, and I get hooked up, and the tech goes away, and he's snoring. And all of a sudden, he lets out a big cranking wave of gas, and the sound wakes him up. He goes, what? And then he nods back to sleep. That was a fun. And the same night, nobody will believe this, but I don't care. Same night across the way, this was in the summertime, there's an elderly gentleman there, and he's wearing the tiniest shorts possible and not wearing any underwear. My favorite night at dialysis. My favorite night.
That's awesome.
So thanks to all the wonderfully entertaining patients who ruined my treatments. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Stacey,
yeah.
No one believed me when I told them that. I'm going to reveal a little bit about myself. No one believed me when I told them that the turkey went through the window at the dialysis unit. Can you confirm that for me, please?
I can only confirm that. It was in the paper in a Christmas column in the Press Democrat here in Santa Rosa the next day or two. We have the center I'm in now is out in a business park, and there's a big field next to it because it's not all developed. And one afternoon, some turkey, because we do have a lot of turkeys up in the mountains. I hike a lot, and I see them all the time.
Right.
And, I mean, a big turkey came up and didn't see the window, was distracted, had a bad day. I don't know what the heck was going on. Rammed the window. Fortunately, the blinds were down, so there wasn't, because if the blinds weren't down, it would have been uglier, and a lot of people would have got scratched up with glass. But fortunately, I think just one of the techs and maybe a patient just got slight nicks, and everybody was okay. But that is an absolutely true story, and I stand by you, Kim.
Thank you.
Turkeys are not very smart.
I would
not the smartest bird.
I would tell people that story, and they're like, "No," and I was like, "Seriously."
Now, on the opposite side,
I went through the window.
Yeah, on the opposite side, my worst day of dialysis, as far as a patient, was listening to this poor elderly woman begging to die for the whole 2 hours I was there. Just
I've had one of those too.
Yeah, and you're like, oh my goodness! You know, the medical industry is great at keeping people alive and getting their quality of life up. But when somebody is suffering that much and wants to has had a full life and wants to end it, I don't see why we just don't let them if that was their wish.
Well, that's why I was very very much supporting the Death with Dignity law when it came through the ballot this year, because the problem is too is that that whole segment of the population, the elderly, they're used to just doing whatever the doctor tells them to do. My grandmother doesn't say boo to her doctor, which is funny because she says boo to everybody else. But, you know, the doctor could tell her that she had to walk naked through the streets and she'd just be all right, you know. And really, if you're not advocating for yourself, nobody's advocating for you.
Exactly.
That is very
true. This is what I want to drill down to. This is the good
thing,
I want to hear these stories. I mean, these are great stories that I've never heard of before. I know most of my listeners out there who probably haven't heard stories like this. I mean, it's interesting. It gives us a little bit of an insight into what y'all go through, especially when you receive a dialysis at a center, because I know I have very little experience, I ask patients about it. They're like, yeah, I mean, there were a few hours then I go home. But it's just these little things that, gives me an insight on what really happens.
And I applaud Tracy for being able to do home dialysis, because I tried to have a PD catheter put in about a couple, because I have incredible pain issues as far as the needles going in and being in and burning for 2 hours some treatments. And I tried PD, and the doctor ended up being a quack because he did 3 surgeries on my abdomen. Now I have a bunch of scars. Nothing ever happened. So I said to heck with it, and I still do in-center treatment.
You couldn't pay me to do PD. I was all about, my doctor was like, my doctor goes, have you thought about doing PD? And I was like, yeah, that's gross, man. I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not carrying bags of, I'm not carrying bags of waste in my belly. Like, I don't have enough problems. You know?
Well,
like, please, that's just asking. That's asking for some sort of disease. I got cats. That's just not a smart move. They're filthy little bastards.
Yeah,
just,
I concur.
Yeah. It's actually, I think that a lot of times, and this is what I've noticed, my doctors are all very good and very supportive, but they don't have my whole health picture in their head. They're kidney doctors. So they're basically thinking about how to fix my kidneys. And that's why it's so important to do the research yourself, because otherwise you're just not going to find out, you know, what's best for you personally. And that might not be what's best for most people. I found IHateDialysis.com to be really useful for that sort of thing. In terms of,
yeah, this is I mean, it's a good point because I'm a primary care physician and I'm a family doc, and you know, I'm not a, you know, nephrologist. A question I have is, you know, I mean, you know, to help give me insight on this, what kind of stuff can I do as somebody's family doctor or primary care doctor to kind of help people, you know, either as they're starting to go through this or as they're, you know, after they've been through dialysis for a few years, you know, how can I, you know, how can I further help my patients with this?
I think that, you know, for me, and I don't know if Stacey would agree with me or not, I think that the thing that primary care physicians can do is, you know, test their patients' creatinine levels regularly. Because the earlier you catch kidney disease, the better chances that you have to manage it. I also think that my doctors, my general practitioner, ended up doing a lot of reading. God love him. He did a lot of reading on what he could and couldn't prescribe for me in terms of, you know, what would be hard on my kidneys. He changed around medications that I was taking for other issues. And he really acted as the clearinghouse for all of my stuff. He was the guy that had the oversight for everything.
I guess the big thing, I'm sorry, Tracy, you weren't finished.
No, go ahead. I'm all done.
Okay. Well, I don't have a primary care physician, and so I just, fortunately for me, I haven't had a lot of other health issues to deal with, and I've noticed over the course of dialysis, I haven't really had any colds or flu. I don't get a flu shot anymore because I feel like kind of, maybe it's because I'm a small, I'm only 5'7", I weigh about 125. I'm thinking maybe they get washed out of my system.
You're like the luckiest guy in the world somehow.
It's the Stacy luck. And if I could give you any advice, Dr. Anonymous, it's that because I have had, and presently I don't have any doctors like this. Let me put that out there as a disclaimer. I would have doctors who come by, look at my labs for 2 seconds, and then move on and then charge Medicare $500. So I would just ask, take the time. I know you're busy. I know you got a billion patients and a billion things to do. Just make sure you take the time with each and every patient. And big L word, listen. That's all I would ask.
Yeah.
Especially with the chronically ill, because I think that unless you – I don't think you understand what it means to be chronically ill unless you are or unless somebody close to you is. I know that I certainly had no idea how much it was going to change my life and the way I had to do things. And my doctor played a big part in that. I mean, he played a big part in helping me make the transition. My general practitioner did. He made sure that nothing got lost. So there's definitely a place there.
And I know you talked about this a little bit, Tracy, but how has it changed your life kind of looking back?
I think that in terms of what I eat and drink, I'm much more conscious of what I put into my body. I tend to be gentler with myself now than I was before. I don't drive myself to the brink all the time. I take plenty of time for me. And I think that there's something weird about knowing what you're going to die from. I mean, I'm going to die earlier than most people, and I'm going to die from complications of kidney disease. It makes it really important to let people know how I feel about them, and it makes it really important to be honest in my day-to-day life and to make sure that what I say is what I mean. So it has actually done a lot of really good things for me in terms of the quality of my relationships with people in my life and how I live my life. I could do without the needles. And the 50,000 boxes of dialysate in my house. But, you know, everybody has their cross to bear, I guess.
Stacey, I'll ask you the same question. How has this journey changed you, and what have you learned about yourself going through this journey?
Well, I think I mentioned a little bit of this earlier. In the last 5 years, as I mentioned earlier, my personality has changed. But I pretty much like who Stacey is today. So the other part is, and I mentioned this in the blog entry a couple weeks ago, is little things in life, the moments that people just breeze by, I cherish now. When I can hold down a BLT sandwich in the morning, pretty darn happy. when I can take a 1 hour hike and not feel horrible and awful afterwards, I mean, that's a great day. So the smaller moments in life not to put anything down on what I call normal people who don't have major health issues, but
oh, the hell with them.
Yeah. Hey, maybe I was thinking that. I just didn't verbalize it. You look at life a completely different way, and I think you appreciate it more. And I am so thankful for that. That I get a chance to not only take everything in life and enjoy it to the best possible way. Because like Tracy said, unfortunately, the complications of either the dialysis over and over again, you know, that's slowly, unfortunately, killing us. Very slowly, thankfully, but it is. And you look at life and you look at death much, much differently.
You really do.
Hey, Tracy, I have a quick question from the chat room.
How do you
recycle or dispose of the medical waste from your home? I'm even curious because I'm not entirely sure.
Well, I break down like 50,000 boxes a day.
Right.
But my cartridges and the empty bags of dialysate all get double bagged and thrown in the trash. The needles get taken to a pharmacy and get disposed of by a pharmacy. And then the boxes get recycled.
All right. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I personally create enough waste for, like, I don't know, a small third world nation. People are like, you're not ecologically sound. I'm like, I don't care. There you go.
Well, you got to do what you got to do.
I have a couple more questions before I let you guys go for tonight. I know the people in our chat room, I know there's a lot of guests in there. I know some of them are maybe curious about blogging or podcasting or participating in new media. Tracy, I'll ask you first. Tell the people, both in the chat room and who are going to be listening to the archives, especially people receiving dialysis, why should they why should they utilize things like new media, like blogging, like podcasting?
I have found a tremendous amount of support online. I have made friends all over the country. I have found that it really is a community. I mean, it's a different form of community, but it's definitely a community. Blogging has introduced me to some of my best friends, and it has provided me with a chance to talk about things that were in my head and to not feel so alone, even when I had to spend most of my time alone in my apartment. It's always kind of weird starting, but, I find after several years of it, I wouldn't trade the friends that I've made through blogging for anything, really.
And Stacy, I'll ask you the same question. And Kim, I'll ask you to jump in after Stacy. So so go ahead, Stacy.
I'm sorry, what was the original question? I forget things. Being on dialysis this long, Dr. Anonymous, I have to write notes for myself everywhere. I forget.
No, it's okay. It's okay.
I lose focus, and I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
What's good about
Stacy? Why should people, especially people with dialysis, and chronic diseases, why should they utilize new media like blogging, podcasting? Why is it a good idea?
Well, when I think back to last time I was on dialysis in the mid-90s, before the internet had really exploded to the communication tool it is today, I had to move back with my parents, and I didn't have this venue of blogging or IHateDialysis.com, a great bulletin board, to meet other people, and I was really alone. I mean, that was one of the roughest times. First of all, moving back with your parents in your mid-20s, oh, what a terrible, terrible, awful idea, and my self-esteem and my self-esteem just nosedived. I wouldn't go back to that for anything. That was just a really low part of my, because I didn't have really an outlet of people to talk to. And the blogging, starting the blog, half my friends on Facebook are a result of IHateDialysis.com and my blog. And so I get to keep in touch with them, see how they're doing, see who's getting a transplant, who's that is so incredibly helpful. Not to be alone. The internet has changed everything when it comes to dealing with a terrible illness like this, and it is just incredible. And for anybody going through that, starting your own blog, using, you know, I'm not up to up on the video or the podcasting, but these are all great tools to talk with people, get your fears out, ask questions. That is one of the biggest things. Get it from people who know, because, you know, sometimes let's be honest. Doctors don't tell you the whole story.
No, and there's a tremendous pressure from people in your life to put on the happy face.
Oh,
like,
God, yeah.
When you get really, like, sometimes you just get annoyed with the process and you get frustrated with the process, and it doesn't mean that you don't want to continue to do the process. It just means that you're really annoyed and frustrated with it. And if you vent that to the people in your life who love you, they tend to give, oh, buck up, little buckaroo, you know, which is not what you need. You just need to be able to go, you know, it really, really sucks having to put needles in my arm all the time and not being able to pee. That's just not fun.
Yeah.
So I think that blogging allows you to hook up with people who are in the same place you are and who aren't necessarily going to feel bad if you feel bad. And that's helpful.
Kim?
Yeah.
Why should people with chronic diseases, why should they utilize the internet and new media?
You know, coming from, you know, a healthcare professional, the best insight I've ever gotten has been from these two guests' blogs. And that's the truth right there. And I found them through a nurse that used to blog. I don't think she still does. She was a former coworker of mine in California. She had a blog. And I actually found those Tracy and Stacy through her, and I'm so glad I did, because, like I said, the best insight I've ever gotten with, you know, helping people with chronic kidney disease has been from their blog. So if, like, especially with dialysis or any disease that is not, you know, very well known, if you want someone to know something, you have to say it, or you have to write it, or you have to put it out there. Otherwise, I don't know their point of view, and I'm sure that, you know, other people feel that same way. Putting it out there really just makes things more clear. It helps me help them, because if I know what they're thinking, or I know that, you know, this type of treatment, or this is how they feel with this, or if I can't tell you what a dialysis-induced cramp feels like, because I don't think anyone can unless they felt it. So unless I hear it described, it puts a whole new meaning for it for me. And I can feel, like when they write about it, I can feel that pain. I can feel, you know, this is something that we can fix, you know. So, you know, that's I think it's one of the best ways to, you know, put something out there, like chronic kidney disease. So
hey, Kim, I have a quick question.
Yes.
Why aren't you blogging anymore?
Yeah, that's what I want to know, too.
Aha.
If you want the truth, I used to have another blog.
Yeah, we don't want lies. Tell us the truth.
I used to have another blog, and I was pulled into an office. And
oh, hey, I've done that before at Dialogue.
Yeah,
it's wonderful.
And
we're in the same club.
We are in the same club. I was pulled into a little office, and, you know, it was expressed that they knew about a blog, and so I stopped that one and started up As the Pump Turns when I moved. Well, I started up before. It was kind of more like a nursing school blog, but I just can't talk about nursing school anymore. It's killing me. So I started talking more about dialysis. So, you know, I'm being truthful. So, and then the same thing kind of happened. I got a little freaked out. I have like a tracker that tracks where people are looking at my blog, and it was coming up with the company I work for, and a lot. And so it really kind of scared me. And then I was approached and said, you know, we know this is, you know, you. And so they I can see where someone might be a little nervous about it. So I did stop. I would like to get back to it. But this next year, there's going to be a few little changes. So
we'll create an anonymous blog for you, hon.
So does that mean you're going to come back, or you're going to just continue blogging anonymously?
I'm probably going to come back. I think once, you know, a few things work out, I'm definitely going to come back. I have the domain, and I really like the name. I think As the Pump Turns is a really good name, and I don't want to give it up.
That's
a good name.
So I thank a nurse from where I used to work for that one. She helped me come up with it. Without her really knowing. But anyway, yeah, I will be back. I'm just going to take a little vacation for a while.
Okay.
Well, I will. As long as you come back, that's the important
part. I'm going to try, yeah. It's the site's still up. It hasn't left yet. It's just my older post.
Dormant.
I think Kim may have another career in this radio gig because...
yes, you did a really good job today.
Very well.
I don't know. We'll see.
So Stacy and Tracy, before I let you go tonight, I will ask you for any kind of closing thoughts or anything that that I didn't ask or Kim didn't ask or anything that you would think that my audience would really need to know if we forgot anything. So any kind of closing thoughts you have, and I'll start with Stacy.
Oh, you're starting with me. Okay. As far as closing thoughts, dialysis has been one of the worst and one of the best things that's ever happened to me. I know that sometimes reading the blog entries I do that I just hate the whole damn thing. I'd really rather be somewhere else. But it has taught me so many things about myself and about life that I think maybe there's a plan for me. Who knows? But it's and I really have to point out, Dr. Anonymous, that the people who work in dialysis, the people who are the techs, the PCTs who put the patients on and take them off, all the nurses and the doctors, these are amazing freaking people. And I'm really thankful. I have a great clinic. I've been blessed because you do hear from time to time there really needs to be more of not sure what the word I'm looking for is. These dialysis clinics need to be watched a little better because I have a friend who is in the East Bay of San Francisco, and the horror stories she has told me about her clinic are frightening. And she actually had to sit down with the board of directors to discuss some of these things. It was so bad. So there needs to be a way of making sure the level of care across the country in every dialysis clinic is just as good as the next. And unfortunately, right now, that is not the case. So I guess that's what I will end with.
Okay. Tracy, you have any closing thoughts for us this evening?
Yeah, I mean, I would want everybody to take away from this the fact that nobody knows that they're going to become chronically ill. You know, nobody prepares for it. Nobody guesses that it's going to happen. And so when you're thinking about things like healthcare reform and, you know, Medicare and Medicaid, it's important to remember that it could be you. You know, that health crises pop up for people all the time, and there's no way to guarantee that it won't be, you know, you or your family member or your friend. You know, these are the things that affect all of us as a society. And also, it's obvious that I can't have nice things because I just ruin them, like my kidneys.
So, Stacy, the blog is called The Adventures of Stacy Without an E. You can find it at stacywithoutane.blogspot.com.
If I could just interject for make sure you spell all that out, because a lot of people put stacy.blogspot.com. I can't find it. It's spelled out, because everywhere I go, either when I hand my credit card to somebody, they go, is this your wife's? Or they spell it with the E-I-E-double-E, silent X, squiggly Z, whatever they want to put in there, it's S-T-A-C-Y. That's why I spell it out, Stacy without an E, .blogspot.com.
Okay. And Tracy, your blog is Capley with a K, CapleyInc.com. And I want to thank both of you for coming on the show. I mean, this has been very enlightening for me, and I know we've had a lot of people listen in, and I know a lot of more people listen in on the archives. So thank you for shedding more light on this. And I know we're going to be, you know, I'd love to bring you back on the show at some point. We can continue the conversation, because I think this is really kind of the tip of the iceberg. And I know as the years go on, there are going to be more and more people with chronic kidney disease, because I know that, you know, at least from my standpoint, you know, we're going to be, I think Tracy, you said it before, we're really being aggressive in trying to find even early stages of chronic kidney disease earlier. So I know our conversation will definitely continue at some point, but I did want to thank Stacy and Tracy for coming in on the show tonight. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thank you so much, Dr. Anonymous and Kim, for inviting me. I really, really appreciate it. And thanks for letting me speak in another radio capacity.
Well, great.
Oh, it's my only radio capacity, but thanks for letting me speak too.
Well, great. We'll definitely talk down the road at some point. And so thank you so much, and take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye, guys. Thank you.
Okay. So, Kim, you just definitely rock. And I should be really worried right now, because probably be taking my job here a little bit.
No, your job is safe. I like seeing your face every Thursday, Saturday.
Let me just kind of finishing up here. So how did it feel being in the host chair there? About what was going through your mind there? You're probably going crazy there for a little bit.
At first I was a little nervous about it, but you just got to do it. So I just started doing it. I have like a little I did show prep. I have a little list of things I want to, you know, ask about, and I just try to follow it as best as possible. But, you know, it's live internet radio, so you just got to go with it. So, I don't know, it felt good, but it's a little nerve-wracking.
So when does your show start?
Oh...
as the pump turn show.
I need like another 24 hours to my day. That would be fantastic. Oh. Can you order that for me? Can you
sure. I'm all over that. I could be your intern too if you like. I could I'll just be the guy that runs the chat room and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, you're too kind.
I think you did real well, and I think people really, and I told you this in the first time you were on the show, people really hear the passion in your voice for people with this disease, working with people with chronic kidney disease and dialysis, and how much you advocate for them. And even though you don't have the disease, you really empathize to what they're going through, and it really shows. And it really shows on tonight's show too. And I want to thank you for bringing that to the show. And I think a lot of people appreciate that.
Well, thank you. I try. Sometimes I feel like I don't do it enough, or what I feel I should. Sometimes the emotion of dealing with chronic people who are, I can't find the right word for it, chronically ill people is difficult sometimes, but I definitely try to do my best with that, and I really do wish that it was more out there and more people were aware of it, just for the sake of other patients that don't know what their, you know, future holds. I just wish everyone was more aware of it. I think it would make life a little bit easier for patients, and I wish there was more of, you know, early dialysis education. I think that's something that, you know, the United States really needs to work on.
And just to let people know, I mean, you're still, I think, pretty much full time tech working. I mean, you're working, and then you're going to school, and you're still in it.
I am in it. I am in it almost every day, and that's I'm in it almost every day. I enjoy it, though. I most of the things I've learned in, you know, my adult life, or somewhat adult life, I don't really consider myself an adult yet, has been from my patients, and, you know, their stories and their courage has really impressed upon me quite a bit.
Before I let you go tonight, I'll ask you the same question I did them. Is there anything else that you think my audience or people who are listening to this show would want to know or need to know about dialysis and chronic kidney disease?
You know, I think my two guests totally hit it on the head with what they had to say, and I really think that, you know, if you're a patient, or if this is something that's down the line for you, learn as much as you possibly can about it as soon as possible. If you're in stage one, talk to your doctors. Make sure you're on the right diet. Make sure everything is perfect, because you really can hold off dialysis as long as possible. Dialysis is not the end of the world, but as they said, it's not something, you know, you really want to do every day or every other day. So that's my advice to future patients and to healthcare providers. You know, you can walk into a hospital and talk to any nurse that's not on the renal floor, and most of them don't know about it. And this is something that's become prevalent in the United States, and I just wish that more medical facilities were educated in this area, because even in the ER, you're going to get tons of dialysis patients. If you work, family practice, you're going to get some here and there. So it reaches across all healthcare fields. It just isn't renal. This is dialysis patients, you know, they run the whole gamut, so it's really something that's important, I think, for everyone to learn about and have a good understanding of.
Well, great. So, Kim, the blog, even though it's a sparse blog at this point, is asthepumpturns.com, and I know you're on Twitter, too. So thanks so much. Thanks so much for basically just setting up the whole show and doing the whole thing, and just kind of letting me hang around for the ride. So you did real well tonight, and I really want to thank you for being on the show and bringing on the guests and doing the interviews. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for letting me. I do appreciate it.
Well, we will definitely talk more down the line, and thank you so much for being on the show, and have a good night.
Thank you, Dr. A. Thank you again. Bye.
Okay. Okay, kids, so we have 10 minutes left. I do have some just short announcements before we end the show tonight. I want to thank Kim, and I want to thank Stacy and Tracy for being on the show. It was a great show. Next week, a week from tonight, we will have another guest co-host joining me. It will be Dr. Gwen. She's a pediatrician, and her website is pediatricsnow.com. and we'll be talking about some pediatric issues 1 week from tonight. And coming up this Saturday, January 24th at 9 p.m. Eastern time, will be the night shift with me, Dr. A, and a little bit different, different feel than it is for this show. We freewheeling, I guess. And my co-host there will be Kat from the Block Talk Radio show, Landview Lowdown, and we'll be talking about her show. And I'll be talking about the Twitter Shorty Awards that I've experienced this week, and maybe even some thoughts on the inauguration. Stay tuned Saturday night, 9 p.m. Eastern time, right here on Block Talk Radio for the night shift. And tomorrow, I believe, the results of the MedGadget MedBlock Awards will be announced, and I think we'll be talking about that a little bit, too, on Saturday night show. If you enjoy the show, I encourage you to support the show. If you're on Block Talk Radio, mark this as a favorite show and make me your friend here right here on Block Talk Radio, and subscribe to my iTunes and even write a review if you like. I am one of the featured podcasts over there, and I want to thank the people over at iTunes for that. You can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/DrAnonymous. And you can also subscribe to my blog. You can get there at dranonymous.com. And before I say goodnight, I do want to give a shout-out to our friend Enrico. He's going to be live blogging, I believe, at the top of the hour at the site here. And I'll drop that in there. And I think he was in the chat room here earlier. And you'll be seeing him actually working. Enrico working. The link in the chat room there. You can also find them at MexicoMedStudent.com. And just a little plug for Saturday night. The night shift, and then afterward, I will be making some kind of mysterious appearance on the Annie and Burrow Live Show, which will be on Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern time, right here on Blog Talk Radio. You can find that at blogtalkradio.com/Annie and Burrow Talk. So that'll be fun. So thanks again to Kim and to Stacy and to Tracy. I want to give their blogs here one more plug here. Stacy, you can find it at Stacy without an E, S-T-A-C-Y, and then without an E, .blogspot.com. And Tracy, you can find her at Capley with a K, CapleyInc.com. If you want more information on that, you can find it at DrAnonymous.com. Thanks a lot for everybody for hanging out with me in the chat room. We still have 8 people in the chat room there, so thank you for hanging out with me tonight. And the next show here will be The Night Shift with Dr. A on Saturday, January 24th, 2009, at 9 p.m. Eastern time right here on Block Talk Radio. And I think that's it. So I am Dr. Anonymous. You can find me at Dr. Anonymous. .com. Good night from the Buckeye State. We will see you on Saturday night right here for the night shift. Good night.